Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word before us today is from the second letter of John in the first chapter, verses 1 to 11. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace and mercy and peace will be with us from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house or greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Your fellow redeemed by the blood of God's own Son. The Apostle John, in addition to his gospel, wrote three letters in the New Testament. They're short letters. Most of you have probably read them. And they are addressed either to, as it says here, lady or the elect. In other words, the church at large, the Christian church of Jesus Christ, the communion of saints, wherever it's found in the world, or to a certain congregation. I prefer to think that it is written to the church at large. In other words, this message is not only for the church in those days, it's a message for us today. I want to draw your attention to the third verse and the first part of that verse. There, John gives a wonderful promise as he begins the verse. He says, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. But then at the end of verse 3, John says that these great heavenly blessings will be with us in truth and love. What does he mean when he says that these blessings will be with us in connection with truth and love? Well, most of us are experienced adults. We know what it was like when we were raising children, and some of us are raising children. And if we know what we're doing, we will say to our children as they're being raised, you know, the only way you're going to have blessing and success in life is if God blesses you with strength and the talents he's given you, and you work hard. Or, to put it another way, when the child gets lazy, the parent may say, if you don't apply yourself, you're not going to amount to anything. You won't receive the blessings from God that hard work and his grace will give. And so John is really saying that we will have no grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and the Son outside of truth and love. In connection with truth and love, you will have grace and peace and all these blessings, but outside of truth and love, you won't have these blessings. He's speaking positively because he's writing to Christians. His message to the Christian congregations then is simply this: walk in truth and love that you may be blessed. Now, we want to be just as clear as John is. These aren't his words. These are the words of the Holy Spirit, and they're precise. As I've told you before, there are no errors here, and every word's important. I want you to notice that, well, generally when people speak of truth, they use the word truth only as an adjective of love. For example, everyone talks about true love, don't they? Everyone assumes they know what true love is. But John doesn't say that these heavenly blessings will be ours as we walk in true love. True love has many different interpretations according to the whim and ways of the world. John says we will have these blessings as we walk in truth and love. Big difference. Most people are afraid of letting truth stand by itself, as if it's something that God created as an absolute. They want to modify truth, and so they connect the word true love. They make truth into an adjective. And that allows them some wiggle room. They want to avoid any truth that cannot be ignored or changed to suit their own tastes. I'll give you some examples later on. Divine or absolute truth is seen as a threat to their lifestyle. And so we are told today that true love condones premarital sex. It condones homosexual relations because it's true love. But what John is saying here when he says truth and love don't allow any of these sins. John teaches the correct relationship between truth and love in this text and makes it very important. Look at the first two verses again. John says there that he loves the Christian church and each individual in connection with truth. He further says in those verses, all those who have known the truth also love these Christians that he's writing to. Now that's a remarkable thing. John didn't know every person personally to whom he was writing. The world would say you can't really truly love someone if you don't know them. But John says, I don't know you all, but I love you all. And so does every other Christian love all of you in truth. And there is the qualifier. Because of the truth, he says, which abides in us and will be with us forever. Now, John never used PowerPoint. But do you get the power of his point? It's really very simple here. He's telling us that truth produces love as an attitude of the heart. Which means the truth is not modified by what we think love is. The truth stands by itself. And when truth is put into the heart, it produces love. The love that the church experiences amongst itself. Love is not a feeling that arises from the human heart. Not in this case. Love is an attitude. It's created by God through the truth that he reveals. To love in connection with truth is to love in connection with Christ, who is the truth, as he says in John 14. It's really very simple. The Christian who loves in connection with truth is always standing at the foot of the cross. The Christian who loves in connection with truth never really in his heart leaves the foot of the cross. And whenever someone sins against him, he's standing at the foot of the cross. And his attitude is truth and love. He sees himself truly before God. Not the way the Pharisaic hypocrites did in Jesus' day. They thought they were holy because they were descendants of Abraham. Not the way the people in Hosea's day felt, who only wanted to give sacrifices that weren't from the heart, outward ritual. No, in this case, John is saying that it's all about Christ and our attitude before the cross. The truth about our own sin and the blood that was shed for our sin creates in us an attitude that says, if God loved me so much when I was still in my sins, then I should also love others. I should love them perfectly because Jesus died for them. I should especially love my brothers and my sisters in Christ, the church. And I should love them without condition, regardless of how I've been treated. Or how my love is responded to. In his first letter then, John is writing, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. He's carrying this theme through in the second letter. And this is the love attitude of the truth that works in the Christian's heart. But now this truth doesn't just stand at the cross, fixed, frozen. This truth walks. Notice what he says. This truth walks in love according to God's commandments. John rejoiced greatly to find that some members in the Christian churches were walking in connection with the truth. In other words, they didn't just hear the truth Sunday after Sunday, they walked in it. He pleads with the whole church they continue to walk in truth by loving one another. He says in verse 6, "This is love, that we walk according to his commandments." There again, you have it. Not true love as the world defines it. He defines love as walking in accord with God's commandments. You want to know what true love is and really how it acts? Then you don't listen to the sentiments of the human heart, which always wants to choose its own way. That's not where you go first. If you do, you're sure to err. You're going to make a mistake one way or another. For example, suppose a member of your family or a member of this congregation is caught in some sin. And you know about it. And you begin to think, from a human perspective, if I go to my brother or sister and face him or her with this sin, he's going to be angry with me. And a long-time friendship is going to be spoiled. And more than that, he might point his finger at me and start talking about my sins. And so that kind of sentiment, what the world might call true love, won't say anything. But the love that's connected with the truth has to go to the brother who has sinned and admonish in love and humility as Christ would and as Christ did in order to gain the brother or the sister. If your brother sins against you, Jesus said, go and tell him his fault privately, for the purpose of gaining and restoring him. Again, love according to human sentiment, true love. True love suggests that abortion's okay for a rape victim. After all, she didn't want the child. And the child is her body, part of her body. It's her choice. It's her life. That's the true love of human sentiment. But there's no truth connected with it. The Christian knows that there is love and there is truth. And the truth determines what the love is. And the truth is, it is a sin to murder, to take a human life. That's the end of it. The truth and love. But the love that is in connection then with truth is always very clear. It doesn't choose its own way. It chooses the way that starts at the cross and then walks according to the commandments of him who is the truth. Now, this is nothing new. John says this is what the apostles had been teaching from the time that Jesus began his earthly ministry. So then, why does he seem to switch subjects? Why does he feel the need to plead with the church to walk in the truth that loves? Because, he says in verse 7, many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. There are many deceiving false teachers and those semi-religious organizations our own day that go out and they say that Jesus was a godly man. He was such a good man that he knew what true love was. He was compassionate to the sinner, and he fed those who were hungry. He did all these things that we would think true love would do. But these false teachers, John says, deny that he came into the flesh, that the eternal Son of God came into the flesh for this purpose, that it wasn't sufficient to teach people how to love others as a perfect man. He had to die for those who could not love others. That's us. He had to die for our sins, and for that he had to take on human flesh and make himself a sacrifice, and he had to be the eternal Son of God. And John says, The great deceivers, they deny that he came into the flesh from eternity. For them, it's enough that he was just a good example and shows us how to love others. John is warning here about the teachings of any individual or group who suggests that man in any way, by his show of love, can earn his way to heaven by following the example of Jesus. That he can be morally clean and basically good, as the scouts say, for example. John denies that. It's not about obeying certain laws, certain oaths, certain sacrifices. The children of Israel should have known that from the preaching of Hosea. The Pharisees in Jesus' day should have known that. We ought to know it. John is warning us not to be deceived by their show of good works and love. For unless a person knows the truth about himself, that he is not morally clean, that he is not morally straight by nature, then he cannot know the love of God for him who came into the flesh, and he cannot love his neighbor. And all of his works and show of love are nothing but hypocritical masks. They are not about the truth. In fact, John says in verse 8, these all have an anti-Christian spirit that threatens your own faith in Christ for which we have worked. When I preach the law and the gospel to you, the point of it is to bring you to the foot of the cross so that you have an understanding of your true sin before God, that you may know the truth in Christ as your Savior. If you are deceived by those who say that you can love others and save yourself by how you live, that is destroying the work of the gospel that has been set in you by baptism and by the word. It destroys the thing we have worked for, John says. Be watchful so that you remain faithful to the truth of Christ and receive a full reward, which is the final salvation of your souls. For John says, those who remain in the doctrine of Christ and do not go beyond it possess both the Father and the Son unto eternal salvation. You can't possess Jesus unless you are standing at the foot of his cross saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, through the blood of your Son. You have to have the Father and the Son, and that blessing goes with you when you walk in the truth that loves according to his commandments. And John exhorts also in verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. Again, that contradicts the world's idea of what true love is. Well, how can you be so judgmental? Well, there's a difference between judging someone's error and being unkind. John's not telling us to be unkind to people who come with this error. He's not saying we should go out on the front porch and give him a kick in the shins and roll him off the porch into the grass and spray him with a hose. He's not saying things like that. He's simply saying that we are not to wish them well. We're not to say, brother, go in peace. Or indiscriminately describe anyone as our brother if they are teaching deceptive doctrine not based on the word. We're not to participate in their fundraising. Whatever product they offer, however it appeals to us, we shouldn't want any part that will help to spread the error. That's what John is telling us. We don't want to share in their evil deeds. Those of you who walk in the truth that loves do not want to share in anything that is against the truth. For this is love, John says again, that we walk according to God's commandments. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, will be with us, he says, in connection with truth and love. That's a promise. Amen. Now may this peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and thoughts from every anxiety, as you remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you commandment to walk in truth and love. Amen.